Good morning. It's good to be here this morning and meet all of you. And I've had a wonderful fellowship with Kathy and Del for many years. I've known them, and I was in this fellowship when you were at the other side. This is my first time to be here, and I feel so welcome. And then also by then, I was in Calvary Chapel, Midigo. And so I shared a lot about Calvary Chapel, Midigo, and the Lord called me there in the year about 2000, and took me in that very remote village with 95% Muslim community, and just starting a clinic under a tree, and then growing that clinic into a 70-bed hospital. Uganda standards, right? And the church that is grown up there, Calvary Chapel Midigo, is a large church with a school, with all kinds of ministries that the Lord has grown up from that place. And then through discipleship, we planted other four Calvary Chapels around the region. And so then 2 years ago, the Lord said, get out of here, go start all over again. And so I remember that time sharing with Pastor Dell that God is moving me to go start all over again. And this is to the eastern side of the country. And really my passion is that, you know, as the churches mature, they'll be able to do discipleship and plant churches, I mean Bible teaching churches, in every village in our country. And so that's my passion. And so 2 years ago, the Lord moved me to another place called Soroti in the eastern side of the country, and starting a Bible study with three of my friends. And that work is grown. And I know that you have been praying with us, and you have been a blessing to us. So I just want to show you a little bit of that work, which is started now in Soroti. And then we will share from the word. God bless you. Thank you. I want to thank God for using each one of you to be a blessing to us and to the people of Uganda. And you have been able to touch many, many lives. When I moved to Soroti, the maternal mortality is very high. Women that get pregnant, and if there are complications, that would be a death for a pregnant woman. So I thank God that He used this fellowship to be able to complete the operating theater, and we're now delivering babies almost every other day, and you know, addressing all those challenges that we have in Africa. And so pray for my wife. She's working every night ever since I left, and so she's so tired, very, very tired. And I just shared a little bit of what we do there. Should the Lord put in your heart to come and serve, you are very welcome. Would love to see you come and be part of what God is doing there, and maybe even go through the other church plants. So there are about five Calvary Chapels that we've been able to plant there by the grace of God. And so thank you for your prayers again. And we want to share from the word this morning. You have been a great encouragement to us. And I also like to encourage you from God's word this morning. And so let's pray together. Father, thank you. Thank you for this fellowship. Thank you that they have been a blessing to us. They have prayed for us. And Lord, you have answered. Lord, even this morning as we go into your word, I pray that Jesus, you meet us at your word. Bless our time. God, I pray that this word might cause something to be developed in our hearts. might cause a yearning to serve you, a desire, God, to be faithful in the things you have given us. So we give this time to you, God. Use it for your glory. In Jesus' name. And so one of the things that I would like to warn you is that I don't speak very good English. And so if you don't hear any word, please just say amen in your heart. That would be good enough. When I came here, somebody told me that someone who speaks three languages is called a trilingual. Is that correct? Yes, and somebody who speaks two languages is bilingual. Great. And then one who speaks one language? American, right? I guess that is true. So with all the languages I know, I'm trying to switch between all these languages and try to deliver the message in English this morning. So, well, if you're with your Bible, let's go to Acts chapter 20 and verses 24. The book of Acts is a very rich and wonderful book as the Holy Spirit started to work in the early church. And then at the conversion of Paul, we see a lot that God was doing through his life. But when he reaches chapters 20, 21 through to the end, we see almost the last, you know, portion of Paul's ministry. He had been in ministry probably for 30 years by this time, you know, raised up many churches and preached the gospel in every city. And now he's on his way to Jerusalem. He's on his way to Jerusalem, but inside him is warned that, you know, ahead of him lies uncertainties. He might be chained. He's going to be afflicted with pain, and yet he's still going there. And this morning I want to share with you a message on finishing strong. And I think that it is very, very important in this life that we finish strong. And so, like Apostle Paul, as he kept going towards the end of his life, and you know, as you study the next verses, I mean the next chapters, he's going to go to Jerusalem and there's going to be a riot, he's going to be arrested and he's going to be thrown into prison, and soon he would be transferred to Rome where he would be able to be executed. But amidst all that, amidst all the challenges that he was going to do, he wanted to finish strong. And that's what I want to share with you, finishing strong. And so in verses 24 of chapter 20, Paul, as he knows his time has come, he's talking to the Ephesian elders, and he's reminding them of how much he came to them in humility, and how he kept nothing back from them, how he taught them from house to house, and how he now goes to Jerusalem bound in the spirit, not knowing the things that shall befall him. But he was warned already that there will be bonds and afflictions. But here was his response amidst all that. In verses 24 he says, "But none of the things move me. Neither count I myself dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which the Lord, and the ministry which I received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God." I like the translation that I read before. It says, "But my life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for finishing the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus, the work of telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God." Just by reading this, we see a sense of direction, we see Paul has understood why God has called him, why he's a Christian. He's understood that there is a purpose and meaning in his life. He understands that the life that he has it in Christ, and it is worth is only found in Christ. And he's saying also that he has a work that he has been given, a work that has been assigned to him not by man, but by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And he defines that work. The work that Jesus had given him was to tell others the good news about the wonderful grace of God. We see a metaphor here in regards to life. Life, as Paul describes it, is like a path that is marked out for us. I know that many of you like going on trails up the hills. In where I live right now, there are no hills, so there are no trails. But everywhere as we drive on the highways, I see trails going up the hills. And I know many of you go there to exercise or to have fun. But you have to follow the trail in order for you to reach the top. So that trail has been marked over the years, and people just keep going through that trail. If you go to the bushes, probably you might find, are there snakes in the United States, right? Yes, you can find a rattlesnake there, and it will bite you. And so Paul thought of his life as being like a race course, pressed for him by God, from which if he diverted, it would be rebellion and it would be perilous for him. That consciousness of a definite duty in Paul's life loomed larger than everything else before him. And I pray that this morning as we share together that consciousness of knowing that there is a definite duty that God has assigned me in this life. And that's why we are still here, otherwise we would be saved and gone. But God has allowed us here for a moment to be light and salt to the world, to be agents of the gospel of his Son Jesus Christ. And each one of us has a part to play, an obligation that has been laid before us. And so there is the idea of a race. And as Christians, we are running a race which is marked. And we should run in such a way that we win. I like the writer of Hebrews. In Hebrews 12, he says, Let us strip of every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily strips us up. And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. Why do we keep our eyes on Jesus? Because he's the champion who initiates and perfects the race. Looking to Jesus keeps us going in this Christian life. You look around as there's a lot of brokenness and desperation and pain. And unless you get to a point of knowing that this life is temporary. And I think that is the idea that we as children of God must have constantly in our minds. It is temporary. It's fading away. It's like a flower. It's like a mist. Sometimes we get so comfortable and then we start to pursue and chase things of the world, and we forget that God has designed for us a work, a duty for each one of us. So there are things that try to discourage us, things that weigh us down. Someone once said that when you look without, you get distressed. When you look within, you'll be depressed. You look at Jesus, you're at rest. Apostle Paul talks about finishing what God had given to him to do. I don't know what God has put in your heart as your calling or as your talent. You know, it's not good to be in the first place, 9/10 of the race, and then fall at the end. We need to think about how we will finish the race that we have begun. Have you ever noticed in life that a good start isn't always enough? There's nothing wrong with starting well. But keep in mind that it's often not enough to get us to the finish line or to the winning circle. And I think we have all experienced this in our lives, and this is a reality of everyday life. You wake up one morning and you want to start an exercise program. And you start jogging, you start going to the gym every day. Or you want to, you see a certain diet and then you start it. And you're so serious, you're telling everyone, you see, I'm juicing these days, right? Oh, I'm taking these vitamins, I'm taking the other thing. It starts very well. Or you start planting nice roses behind your house and you're watering them every day. You're going around and you're telling everyone how nice your roses are. But time passes and the diet ends. The exercise stops. The job isn't done. As you see, there is nothing wrong with a good start. It's just not enough. All of us who have experienced a living relationship with Jesus Christ, I understand there is a sense of duty. There is a calling in our lives. Maybe the first time you got saved, for me, when I got saved that night, I didn't sleep. I was so grateful to the Lord that He had saved me from a pit. He had lifted me from a miry clay. And I told the Lord, I will serve you with all my life. Everything, I'll give it to you, Lord, because you are so good to me. And I started going for missions. I think I sang in the worship team for around 6 months. I was serious. But along the way, what happened? I started giving excuses, absenting myself from the worship team. Before long, I was out. When I finished medical school, I started to chase gold and fame and prosperity and forgot about what God was calling me to do. And I would wake up every morning and all I was desiring was to see blood. That is strange, right? Until it became an addiction that if I slept without using a scalpel in my hand, it wasn't a good day. So I would always pass by the operating theater and find if there is something for me to do. And I would ask if I can do it. That's how much the things of the world can pull us. It's until the Lord started to work in my life and I started to see a sense of direction. And what did He do? He takes me to this village in the middle of nowhere, as the Americans say. But I sometimes they say that saying and I'm like, oh, no, wait. It's not the middle of nowhere. There are villages all over this place. But He took me in the middle of nowhere to teach me that He's God. Paul says, my life, and I think that all of us can identify with this. We have life God has given us. He says, it's worth nothing to me unless I use it. So there is meaning and value and purpose of life when we use it for the purposes of God who created us. That is the only time we begin to sense meaning in this life. And then use it for the work which God has given to us. For Paul, his work was telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God. Again, it's very easy for us to say these words if there is nothing on the way to prevent us from carrying out that purpose. But it's different in the case of Paul when he knew that in front of him lied uncertainties, affliction, chains, and death. And he still says, there is a work for me. I must finish this work. These temporary lives we have here on earth are worth nothing if they are not used for the purposes of the Lord. And for you to stay on course from the beginning to the end, you must identify your purpose in this life. And then, like Paul would tell Timothy in 2 Timothy in chapter 1 and verses 6, he says, wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on my hands. Timothy had a gift. And Paul, writing him a letter, he says, I put thee in remembrance. Maybe that's what the Lord is doing to you this morning, putting thee into remembrance, to stir up the gift of God, to be passionate, to be effective. I like what Martin Luther says. He says, I have held many things in my hands and lost all of them. But everything I put in his hands, I have gained everything. Everything. I put thee in remembrance. What does that mean? Because it is easy to forget that we are on the move. That's why the way to heaven is narrow, and a few find it. It's narrow in a sense that it doesn't give us much flexibility. That's why drunkards don't stay in that road, because a drunkard needs a wide place to wander around. He can drive his car to the bush, he can drive his car, and he's all right. The police will find him there. But if you're in a narrow road, you have to be sober and awake. You have to move on that road with a purpose and meaning to stay there. Paul writes to the Ephesians in chapter 4, verse 7, it says, but to each of us grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. Grace has been given to you, all of us. None of us can say, oh, I don't have a gift in my life. Maybe the question is, what is your work in the kingdom of God? I believe that the most important thing for a man or a woman is to have a sense of meaning in this frail life, because you can't trust it. You can't. I watch people every day. I see probably 30 or 40 of them every day, and I see the frailty of this life. And without a sense of meaning, you are in despair all the time. All the time. We also need to realize that God has put us on earth. We need to be able to connect and relate with him. And as we do that, our response will be to become agents of the kingdom of his Son. Paul, writing to the Corinthians in his first letter, chapter 9 and verse 16, he says, for if I preach the gospel, that gives me no ground for boasting, but necessity is laid upon me. Necessity is laid upon me. By who? By the Lord. There was nothing to boast about for Paul. And he says, woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. I think that that's a great point. But it takes time for us to appreciate what God wants to do in each of our lives. And I think that the moment we begin to respond to that, all of us together as a church, the more we are going to achieve more and win many souls to the kingdom of God. Paul knew exactly what God had called him to do. So he says, woe to me. Woe to me if I don't preach the gospel. Woe to me. God has given me a gift, maybe of doing Bible studies, maybe of encouragement, maybe of helping others, maybe of visiting the sick, visiting those who were in prison, maybe just telling my neighbors to come to church with me. I may not even have the gospel message, but he just gives me a friendliness that is beyond an irresistible personality. Maybe God is calling me to speak the gospel to somebody else. Paul says, woe to me if I do not do that which God has called me. There has to be a deliberate effort for each of us to serve the Lord. And in so doing, we get to know what God has called us to do. A deliberate effort. A purposeful effort to serve God. You know, Paul writes, he says, in the past we've spent so much time serving ourselves, living in the world, doing everything. When you're in the world and they say there is a party the other side and a big time singer is coming to the town, you went there, right? We flocked there. When there was a drinking party, we went there. How much more should we be able to serve the God of our souls, the one who has loved us and saved us and snatched us from darkness? I long at the end of this life to conclude like Paul would conclude as he writes this second letter to Timothy. He knows that his time has come and will be going to heaven. 2 Timothy 4 verse 7, he says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. I have had very few men say this when they are dying. Remember, I deal with the dying as well. When a man has lived his life purposefully, calls his children and he holds their hands and says, I have taught you the things that I'm living with you. Take heed. I've finished. Now I'm going. In Paul's case, he says, I have fought a good fight. I have walked the face of the earth. And there have been temptations, there have been issues to derail me from the course. But I have had to fight. You know, even as we are seated here, the enemy will fire fiery darts in your mind. He brings an idea to your heart. And you must be able to fight that idea. So Paul is saying, I fought a good fight. There's a saying that, you know, you cannot stop the birds from landing on your head, right? But you can stop them from building nests. So you keep them away. I have finished the race that Jesus had marked for me, and I have kept the faith. I have not wandered from the faith that I have received in Jesus Christ. And he says, now there is in store for me a crown of righteousness, which the righteous judge will award me on that day. A righteous crown. Having lived a righteous life. Having finished the race. Having fought a good fight. And he says, not only me, not only Paul, but also to all, including all of us who have longed for his appearance, there is a crown of righteousness. Let's think about how Paul was going to leave this world and how this can be very practical to us. Paul wanted to exit the world while serving the Lord. And as you study through the book of Acts, he did. He served the Lord to the very last moment when the knife went through his neck. He wanted to exit the world while preaching strongly the gospel of grace. And lastly, wanted to exit the world while compelled by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God, being led by the Spirit of God. We make so many mistakes, poor investments, because we are not led by the Spirit of God. When the Spirit of God is saying, don't go there, your flesh is saying, let me go there. If you allow the Spirit of God to lead your life and not the world, God will lead you to a perfect direction, and you'll exist to fulfill what God has called you to do. And I think that is very, very important. The book of Colossians, Paul writes something very, very nice there as he concludes that book. If you can turn there, Colossians chapter 4 and verses 17. So Paul talks about himself, but he also talks to others about their ministries. For most part, as Paul would write a letter to the church, most of it was because there was something that he was trying to correct in that church. Or so there was a problem, or there was something he was writing to them. But as he concluded the book of Colossians, I just love the way that he concludes with salutations. Verse 17 says, and say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. Again, you remember those days when the letter would come, it would be read to the church, and all the church would be listening to that letter. And now Paul is writing to the church in Colossae, and is telling the whole church to tell this one man, Archippus, take heed. Take heed. That word to take heed is put great consideration to the ministry. Look carefully to the ministry. Think about the ministry that the Lord has given you. It has a sense of meaning and direction in our lives. As we relate to the Lord and connect with Him daily, we begin to see the big picture of the kingdom of God, and we live for that big picture. Maybe some of us will say, right, I serve the Lord. I have a small Bible study in my house. I meet with my friend once a week. We do a Bible study. We pray together. I have a prayer group. I serve in the worship team. That's great. And I encourage you to do that. Plow in. But I'm sure amid this that there might be people who are scratching their heads with no idea. And that's a great place to be. To say, God, show me my purpose. Show me the reason that I'm here in this fellowship, in this city. Because there is a divine purpose for this life that God has given to us. And here Paul is saying to this one man, take heed of the ministry. That word ministry means service. to serve the Lord. There should be that deliberate effort for each of us to identify what God has called us to do in this life. That purpose is received in the Lord. It is not merely a projection of your ambition. Men don't give it to you, and men cannot take it away from you. Paul is writing, first of all, he tells Timothy, I put you into remembrance of the gift of God that you have. Here with this other man, he says, take heed, say to him, tell him. He's telling the church in Colossae that they should say to Archippus to take heed, to remind him. The reason why you need to be reminded is that the purpose in this life might go unfulfilled. That's why Paul is encouraging Archippus to fulfill his ministry, because there is that possibility of an unfulfilled purpose in life. There are so many people who regret later in their lives why they failed to do the ministry. And many times it's because of fear, because of unbelief, because of the cares of this life. It almost took a toll on me, the cares of life. The Lord was saying, I have called you to preach the gospel. I've called you to go to this place. And for 6 months I was saying, no. I need to make money. What can I do in that lousy village? There is no water, there is no electricity. And the Lord was saying, I'm sending you there. There are 95% Muslim community. Bring the light there. And I was saying, no, Lord, no, no. I had a scalpel in my hand. I desired to be famous. Cares of life. Maybe criticism. Maybe discouragement is weighing down on you. And lastly, maybe there is a besetting sin in your life, standing before you like a wolf. Your purpose can go unfulfilled. But Paul reminds this man, he says, take heed, take care, pay attention to the reason God created you and created me. I don't want to go through life and then at the end of the day I'm like, oh, I wish I had done the other thing. I wish. We come to church to worship, but we leave the church to witness. Our lives, our conduct, the things that we do are a witness to the community of changed lives, of regenerated lives, of lives that are born again. And that alone is a great witness of what God has done. But when we open our mouth and talk about His grace, His love, His mercy, His kingdom, that saves men. And once we walk out of the doors of the local church, we're in the mission field, all of us. We cannot expect the lost to come to the gospel. We must take the gospel to the sinners all over around us. Finally, we are always willing to connect people to things of this life. Things that we find enjoyable and things that we find beneficial. We point people to the best restaurants in town, right? Oh, you go to the other, try the other Mexican restaurant. It's great. We point people to the right music, right business, and right entertainment. We point people, give people directions in this life. If you go If you're going to El Cajon, you pass through here, there's a building on your right, right there is the restaurant. We know to do that. But in order for the world to be saved, we must connect them to Jesus. There is a purpose and a meaning for us. Paul says, my life is worth nothing unless I preach. I use it to finish the work. What is the work God has given you to do? Maybe in your home, your community, in the church, in your workplace. What has He given you to do? What has He gifted you? Fan it into flames. Serve Him. And we'll find fulfillment. And when this life is fading away, we will be glad that we served Him. And we can say, I have fought a good fight. I have run the race. I have kept the faith. Those are wonderful words for us to end with. Church, none of us can sit down and look at the world the way it is. We can pray, we can go, we can serve, we can reach out. Let's pray. God, thank you. Thank you for our lives. There are many lives in this room that you have saved by the blood of your Son. Thank you for each one of us. We lift our hearts to you this morning. I know that you've given each one of us a gift this morning. I pray by your Spirit that you will cause this to be a reality in each of our lives. Each of us desiring to find a place to serve, to fulfill the work that you have given to us. Thank you, God, for those gifts. As they rise up in the body of Christ in this place, use them, God. Use the teachers. Use the evangelists. Use those who are just helping around. Use every gift, Lord, for the edification of the body, but also to be able to reach to the dying world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I pray that through this there will be healing in the community and salvation. We give our lives to you, God. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. If you need to receive from us, there's a paper you can sign, and you'll be getting newsletters every month. I know Pastor Dell does get them, and they pray for us. And thank you very much for allowing us to come.
Before we say